Welcome to Spirit Freedom Halloween Special.
Spirit Freedom. Where aren't you hiding on this Halloween night?
your ghost. I ain't afraid of no ghost. If you're seeing things running through your head, who can you call? Invisible man sleeping in your bed. Well, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Oh. I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Lying here in my coffin. 6 foot down, I'm in the ground for good.
Spirit freedom. Without the soul for getting down, must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
Journey. Thomas was very excited about going on holiday. He was looking forward to one whole week of roaming around the countryside with his mum and dad. He could play football whenever he liked and stay up late to watch television. He had been counting the days until the school break for weeks beforehand, and now it had finally arrived. It was a chilly day in October when they set out on their journey. Thomas stood on the train platform with his mum and dad, shivering in the cold. The wind chilled him to the bone. He stood staring at the train as it lurched along the tracks towards the station. With a final ear-piercing shriek of its brakes, the train came to a halt in front of them. Thomas looked at the train. It was old and shabby, with dirty windows and creaking doors. At the front of the train was the carriage for first-class passengers. Thomas wandered over to it and peered through the window. The curtains were closed inside, but through a small opening, Thomas could see that the carriage was very dark and dusty. It seemed to be empty, apart from a few old seats with torn upholstery and some broken tables. Thomas tried to get a better look inside, but a fierce hand grabbed his shoulder and spun him round. "Ticket, please," growled a tall, lanky station guard. He was old and pale. The only colour in his skin was the black dirt from the smoke and the ash of the station. His eyes were so black that Thomas couldn't tell where his pupils stopped and his irises began. "I haven't got a ticket for this carriage," Thomas stuttered. He was disturbed by the ominous look of the guard.
"Well then," said the guard, "I'd run along back to your mummy and daddy if I were you. This here carriage is closed."
The guard glared at him, and Thomas didn't want to argue. He walked back to his own carriage, haunted by the guard's sinister stare. "Everything okay, son?" asked Thomas's dad, after they had been on the train for a while.
"You seem a bit quiet."
"I'm fine, Dad," said Thomas. He realised that he had been thinking about that first-class carriage for the whole journey. Thomas wondered why the guard was so angry with him for looking through the window. What was he trying to hide? He hadn't liked the look of the guard and felt sure he was up to no good. Thomas imagined the guard to be an escaped convict. Perhaps he was trying to smuggle contraband across the country, and thought that using a decrepit old train and a guard's uniform would be the best disguise. One thing was certain. Thomas was bored sitting on the train, and his curiosity had got the better of him. He had to find out what was inside that carriage. With a mock yawn and a stretch, he said, "I'll think I'll go for a walk, Dad, to stretch my legs." "Okay, son, don't be long," said his dad, without looking up from his newspaper. Each carriage that Thomas walked through to reach the front of the train seemed to get colder than the one before it. Also, the closer he got to first class, the fewer passengers there were in the carriages. The passengers that were present were either sleeping or staring vacantly out of the windows. Their silence gave Thomas the creeps. It was as if their bodies were there, but their minds had long since vacated. Finally, Thomas arrived at the carriage for first class. A sign on the door read, "Danger! No soul may enter." Thomas ignored it. He was in search of an adventure, so he pushed the door open. As he did so, a huge gust of wind came from nowhere. The door swung back on its hinges with such force that it nearly pulled Thomas's arm out of its socket. Dust from inside the carriage flew up in the wind and enveloped him. It was so thick, he could smell it in every breath he took, as if it were working to clog up his lungs and slowly suffocate him. It was as cold as ice inside, and there was no sign of any life. The only light came from the open doorway. Thomas walked deeper into the darkness of the carriage. He paused. He was shaking with the cold. All the warmth seemed to drain from him like water through a sieve. A shudder went down his spine, and he sensed that something in the darkness was watching him. Thomas had second thoughts about his escapade and began to back slowly towards the open door. Suddenly, he tripped over an upended seat and fell flat on his back, just as another burst of wind shrieked through the train and slammed the door tightly shut. All was black. Thomas tried to scramble over the seat towards the door. Just then, however, Two cold, callous hands gripped his arms and yanked him to his feet. Shaken, Thomas looked up into the fierce black eyes of the station guard. The guard opened his mouth. Thomas thought he was about to reprimand him for not having a ticket. Instead, the guard began to smile. It wasn't, however, a warm, friendly smile. It made Thomas feel very uncomfortable. It didn't look right on the guard's otherwise miserable, vacant face. Large creases formed in the guard's cheeks as the smile took over his face. It seemed to stretch from ear to ear in a menacing, creepy way. Thomas felt a strange sense of hopelessness invade him. It was as if the guard's smile was sapping all of Thomas's happiness from him. He tried to think of his holiday and any other happy feelings, but he couldn't. He just felt cold and empty. Thomas panicked and began to struggle, but the guard's grip grew tighter around his arms. Then the guard began to shake him and recite his name over and over again in a low, monotonous whisper. Thomas. 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 Thomas, said his dad as he shook him awake. Thomas, wake up, son. We're here. Thomas sat up with a jolt. He was sitting next to his dad in his own carriage. It was warm and airy inside, and the sun streamed through the window beside him. It was just a dream all along, thought Thomas. Relief swept over him in a warm wave. Thomas smiled as he stepped off the train and let the sun warm his cheeks and hands. Both felt like blocks of ice. He thought that perhaps he had just sat in a draft while he was asleep. Thomas jumped happily onto the bus that was to take them to their holiday cottage. The doors of the bus closed just as a large grey cloud appeared in the sky and swallowed the sunshine. Then Thomas heard a familiar growl and a shiver ran down his spine.
Tickets, please.
Thomas looked up, straight into the eyes of the bus conductor. Except that it wasn't the bus conductor. It was the same tall, creepy station guard looming over him. He winked at Thomas with his black eyes and began to smile.
Please. Seven monsters will need her to why. But I heard a story almost made me cry. It happened in the woods in the middle of the night. The wind was howling and the moon was bright. Someone said they heard it coming, coming closer, near and near. But I don't believe in monsters. I don't believe in ghosts that fly. I know they're all just make-believe. I know they're in my mind. I hope they are. Once there was this house at the end of the street. Every time I passed it, it gave me the creeps. No one's lived there for so many years. But there's a light in the window that comes and disappears. Someone should make sure that it's safe. I'd go, but my belly aches. But I don't believe in monsters. I don't believe in ghosts that fly. I know they're all just make-believe. I know they're in my mind. I hope they are. So next time you're scared and shaking to the bone, remember you shouldn't ever walk alone. Take someone you know with you. If you get scared, sing these words too. I don't believe in monsters. I don't believe in ghosts that fly. I know they're all just make-believe. I know they're in my mind. Well, I don't believe in monsters. I don't believe in ghosts that fly. I know they're all just make-believe. I know they're in my mind. I hope they are. Do you believe in monsters? Do you believe in monsters? Do you believe in monsters?
Is it a monster? monster? Is it a monster? What's that coming over the hill? Is it a monster? Is it a monster? What's that coming over the hill? Is it a monster? Is it a monster? What's that coming over the hill? Is it a monster? Is it a monster? Is it a monster?
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this Halloween special from Spirit Freedom. Of course, I will plug the forum again, which is spiritcharms.co.uk. So here's the final song from this Halloween special, and I hope you enjoy it. So I'll see you again next time.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, then suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoot.
The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
On in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
Whoa.
Out from his coffin Drac's voice did ring.
Whoa.
Seems he was troubled by just one thing.
Whoa.
He opened the lid and shook his fist and
Whoa.
Said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
Whoa.
Now everything's cool, Drac's a part of the band.
Whoa.
And my monster mash is the hit of the land.
Whoa.
For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When
Whoa.
You get to my door, tell them Boris sent
then
you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.